the Saturday Light Brigade. I'm talking with Christina Holokovsky in the background here. And then Boris is here as well. I just saw these folks yesterday at the Folk Festival. I might as well say hello to Christina. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hang on. I need to prove that I know how to turn your microphone on. There you are. Hello.
Hello.
You must be tired. Were you there late last night?
Yeah, we were there until probably about 10:30 because the festival closes at 10 and we had just a little bit of shutting down to do and getting ready for today.
And even though that's not a late night necessarily by some people's standards, it's a night on your feet and so many things going on. Christina and I and Boris, who you'll meet in a minute, we're all part of the Pittsburgh Folk Festivals Around the World in One Day. We're nearly 2,000 kids from all over the area. I had a chance to experience the 55th International Pittsburgh Folk Festival, and it still is underway today and tomorrow. In fact, most of the festival is still ahead of us at the Monroeville Convention Center. And for the past few weeks, we have had previews of some of the live music and samples of some of the great heritage that continues to live on here in the region. And today, Boris Ostapienko is here. Boris is from Toronto, Ontario, and he plays the bandora. And what we'll do is listen to him, then we'll talk a little bit about the bandora and about his playing of it. And then we'll have a chance to listen to another song, too. But let's get started right away now with Boris Ostapienko.
Thank you.
That's Boris and Ostapienko, Boris Ostapienko. And this was fun because I had a chance to watch and listen to Boris play this morning. Or this morning, I had a chance to watch him from the perspective that is appropriate, basically seeing his strengths. And yesterday, as I was watching him, I couldn't really watch him actually play because I was looking at his back. And my gosh, you really get a workout as you play that. I can't imagine the discipline you've got to have. Seriously, your wrist is moving constantly. And how long have you been playing bandura?
I've been playing the bandura for approximately about 8-9 years now.
Okay, so you probably started when you were maybe 10, I'm guessing, nine or 10 years of age, because you're a freshman or a rising sophomore, I guess, at Toronto. What attracted you to the instrument? Anybody in your family that plays?
I suppose I come from a family of musicians. My father used to play in a band, so he played the bass, the accordion, the guitar. He played pretty much any instrument you could name. My mom played the guitar. And as for the bandura, it was a Ukrainian folk instrument that they wanted me to pick up. And I guess at first, you know, when you start playing at 10 years of age, you want to play soccer and all that, and all the kids are playing that, and you don't really want to play the instrument. But I learned to appreciate the instrument, and so I really like to play it.
So at 10 years of age, I'm not sure which weighs more, the instrument. Well, you'd probably weigh more than the instrument, but in size, the instrument's probably bigger than you are, just about, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was really difficult to hold up.
Yeah, if you haven't seen a bandura, let's try to explain. It is kind of like a harp, but not exactly. Can you paint a little picture of it? Or maybe Christina, you can try to do that too. Christina's actually played bandura here in the past. And how would you describe a bandura to people that have not seen one?
Well, anytime that you need to explain it, because it's such a unique instrument, it's one of those Eastern European instruments that's stringed and really has a lot of little small ornate features to it. But if we're trying to describe what the physical instrument looks like, it's a teardrop-shaped instrument with a long neck, and it's kind of like a cross between a harp and a guitar. There's 58 strings, and it can weigh probably around, I want to say, like between 5 and 10 pounds, depending on the size and depending on how many strings and if there's mechanisms in it. Because some banduras, like the one that Boris is playing, has mechanisms in it where he can change keys. So he can change the orientation of the strings and their tension. So mid-song, which is what he does many a time, he'll switch a switch and he will change the key of the instrument.
Are those on the back of the neck?
Yes, yes.
And they have colors, right?
That's just for decoration-wise. Yeah,
yeah, I saw those and I was wondering, and I can't believe that only weighs 5 to 10 pounds. That's amazing. It looks much heavier than that because, but you're right. It's about the length of the guitar, it's just the width that's bigger. And it has kind of a harpsichord-like sound, but also a harp sound. What it really has is a bandura sound. But it's something I didn't notice yesterday is that your left hand is pretty much finger picking or going through the strings that way, while your right hand is plucking the lower strings, right?
Yes, that's true.
And that's kind of really neat. Do you play any other instruments?
Yeah, I play the piano, and I've started to pick up the guitar, so.
It must be odd to play the guitar and have your left hand doing things that it's not used to doing. At least I would think it would be, because for a minute when I was watching your left hand, I was thinking, oh, he's holding down notes against frets, or he's just shortening strings with his left hand. And no, you're plucking Yeah. And that probably influences your guitar playing a little bit.
Yeah.
I would think. So you're studying biomedical engineering,
yes,
right, at the University of Toronto, because we had a chance to meet yesterday and talk about that. Now, I know you and Christina met at Bandora Camp, or a Bandora Camp. Are there lots of, how many people do you think play Bandora in the United States? Is it in the thousands, do you think? Or?
Well, the people who run the camp, our director of the camp, he always comes up and he gives us this speech. He says, you know, you guys are special because there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of piano players. There are hundreds of thousands of violin players. Those instruments are beautiful, but they're very common. There's maybe thousands who play the bandura, and it's really special because it's such a unique instrument.
Yeah, it really is. It's lively and very present, if I can use that word, yet at the same time it has this ancient feeling. How old is the instrument? Do either of you have an idea? Does it go back many centuries?
Yeah, it dates back to the Cossack age in Ukraine. And so that was somewhere around the 1600s. And the bandura was, back then, it was 20 strings, and it would be played by blind kobzarmen who would walk around the villages playing psalms and poems.
Interesting. And you don't have to hold it up again, but could you demonstrate the lowest and highest note that just so people have a sense of it, because it almost seemed to me like it had the range of a piano, almost. It's 58 notes. Maybe not quite, but what's the lowest sound like?
It's a C.
Wow, that's low. Listen to that. And the highest?
Is an A.
Oh, that is like a piano. Can you do that again? Maybe I need to pick up the bandura. I kind of like this, especially now that I know it's only 5 to 10 pounds. I can pick it up. The festival opens at 11 o'clock this morning. And in fact, I believe, will you be performing along with the Ukrainian ensemble at 1?
He might be joining in at 1. We have a few children who will be coming in who are singing with the Ukrainian Saturday School, and we started teaching them the instrument this year. So there might be a few playing, and he might join them up on stage. But he is performing during Ukraine's main show performance at 7:20 tonight.
Yes, 7:20 tonight. And just to give you a sense, today, and this is all at the Monroeville Convention Center, Ukraine opens at 1, then it's India, Bulgaria, Philippines, Greece, Scotland, all in the first hour, rapidly changing on the stage. And then at 2 o'clock, Syria, Slovakia, and then our friends Apple Asia, Mimi Zhang and Jeff Berman and Sue Powers will perform. At 3, Syria, Besame, Scotland, and then it's Iran and Musuhapa, who you heard Victor performing with his ensemble last week on the Saturday Light Brigade, the African American Music Institute. And then it just goes on and on and on, clear through until 10 o'clock tonight. Continuous music, a marketplace, food, and just wonderful, wonderful people. And then it gets underway again tomorrow, opening again at 11 with Chile and Lithuania, Switzerland, and Germany, Carpatho-Rusyn, all joining into the mix, plus Lebanon and Wales and Croatia, with a closing at 6, noon to 6 tomorrow. Check that, 11 to 6 tomorrow, and 11 until 10 today. And come hungry, bring money. It's great to support things. What do you think would surprise people that have never been to the festival?
I think one of the most fun things that I see is when people come who've never been to the festival before, and they just walk in and they just see all of this culture. Because in America, you know, there's all of these classic American things. And you wouldn't think that in a city like Pittsburgh, we have 27 nationalities that want to get together for a festival and share their culture with the community. And it's just so great just to see all of those cultures and to experience everything and get a taste of what it really is like.
And it's a local thing, too. Now, Boris has a Pittsburgh connection in you, I think, right? Is that your sole Pittsburgh connection, the soul right here? Or do you have any family in Pittsburgh at all?
No.
But for the most part, everybody at the Folk Festival and is of Pittsburgh. And we sometimes forget that long before multicultural educational initiatives and long before our national efforts in that area, Pittsburgh was a city due to its evolution, full of people from many different countries. And it continues to be so, and hopefully will continue to grow so. And the Folk Festival demonstrates that really well. Now, I think Boris is going to play, is it Boris or Boris?
It's Boris.
Okay, yeah. Is going to play another song. Can you, the first sounded like a medley. Was it multiple songs or just one?
Yes, it was.
And can you explain the name of it?
The first song was Ukrainian Rhapsody, and it was a combination of two folk songs from Ukraine.
And what will you play next?
The next song is also going to be a medley of all Ukrainian songs from the western region of Ukraine.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being here today. Christina, anything else you'd like to mention?
No, I pretty much the only thing that we can say at this point is just come out to the festival and just have some fun. I say get your ethnic fill for the year because you really do. There's just so much to do, and I hope that you all come out and enjoy.
And that's Christina Lotkoski, who helped to arrange all of the music you've heard over the past few weeks. Thank you. And also along yesterday with Mary and others, we had a really great time yesterday at the Around the World in a Day. And Boris, anything else you'd like to add?
Not really.
You were perfectly complete in your earlier conversation. So we'll finish up with some more playing for you. It's our great pleasure to support the 55th Pittsburgh Folk Festival. Here again, Boris Ostapienko. 58 strings, 10 fingers, and one bandora. Thank you to Boris Ostapienko and Christina Lotzkowski for being with us today. It's pghfolkfest.org to attend today's Pittsburgh Folk Festival. You'll find a complete schedule there. It's at the Monroeville Convention Center, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh, along with Ricky Berger and Andy Collier. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on public radio. A beautiful weekend. High today.